Bibles up to John chapter 10. I appreciate Jacob filling in for me last week. Last weekend, I was at Watermark Church in Plano, Texas. Did go to church. Preachers do go to church on their days off, or it really wasn't a day off. But last Sunday night, I did a wedding in Corinth, Texas. And for the first time in my entire career as a pastor, I forgot the wedding ceremony and the vows an hour the opposite direction. And as a matter of fact, I still don't have my Bible. It will be coming this week. And you can complain about technology all that you want, but if it would not have been for technology, I would have not had the wedding vows, or I would have had to find some on my phone and read them off my phone. Mike and Lynette, who are good friends of ours, found my, well, it wasn't hard to find, it was on the coffee table, found the vows and took pictures of them and sent them to me, so I was able, I could have done the first part of the service, but the vows I didn't have down. So anyway, I don't have my Bible this morning, but I do have a Bible. And so this morning we're going to be looking at the Good Shepherd. And this is, to me, a fascinating, we've been looking for weeks, but it's a fascinating study of Jesus describing to us who He is. He's trying to give us an idea of who He is in a deeper way. It's more than just a name. And in John chapter 10, in these verses 1 through 21, he's going to talk about the relationship of a shepherd to his sheep. And of course, I know nothing about sheep, and so I had to do a little research on that. And so one of the things that I want to do is I want to show you, well, let me read the scripture first. Let's read John chapter 10. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." And he's really talking about the Jews, the Jewish leaders. If you read chapter 9, Jesus is making the Pharisees really upset. He's claiming to be God. He healed somebody on a Sunday, and you weren't supposed to do that according to the Jewish leaders. And so they're ready to kill him. And you're going to see that again this morning. And so when he's talking about the robbers and the thieves, he's talking about the Jewish leaders and how they were trying to discourage people from following him. As a matter of fact, they were so upset with the blind man who got healed that they excommunicated him. They kicked him out of the temple because they could not stand the fact that Jesus took a blind man and gave him sight. And so he's calling them robbers and he's calling them thieves. And he says in verse 2, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name." I love that picture. He calls his sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. They just don't get it. Verse 7, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers.'" He's talking about the Jewish leaders who have tried to persuade the people not to follow him. He says they're thieves and they are robbers. He says, "I'm the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And then here we are with the I am statement. He says, "I am the good shepherd. as opposed to the bad shepherds, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Jewish leaders who are trying. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. And then he says it again. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. What is he talking about? He's talking about the Gentiles. At that time, the Jews were the sheep. But Jesus kind of lets them in that, hey, I've got some other sheep that are the Gentiles. And he says, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord, and I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was, again, a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he is a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of a blind man? And then look down at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And then look at verse 31. The Jews picked up some stones again to stone him. Jesus was not winning friends with this little story that he's talking. What he's trying to do is illustrate to the people, I am the good shepherd. Now, the first point is so neat. He knows our name. Do you realize that Jesus knows our name? He calls us in salvation. And I kind of wondered about the terminology. In verse 3, it says he calls his sheep by name. And did shepherds really do that? Well, I found a clip that I want you to look at of a shepherd. And what is happening in this picture here is several of them are trying to call the sheep. And then the shepherd comes. And I want you to notice this as we look at the shepherd. So look at this. Skip that ad. Here we go. True. How many of you have sheep? How many of you have had sheep, and do they come when you call them? Or I don't know. It's the test case is several different groups tried to call them. You couldn't really hear them very well, but they were trying to call the sheep. The sheep didn't even acknowledge that they were there. But that one shepherd got out there, and when he called, did you notice that their ears perked up? And then it's just like a mass following of coming to the shepherd. And it shows in there a little bit later that he gets out and he walks among the sheep. But the thing I want you to see that is so important for us to know as Christians, that Jesus is the great shepherd, the good shepherd. He knows your name. I think we sometimes don't understand that He wants a personal relationship with His sheep. And the Bible describes us as sheep. And the Bible teaches that He calls the sheep by name. And the thing that we find all through John chapter 10 is the sheep respond to the shepherd. Now, we've talked about Jesus being the bread of life. He satisfies your spiritual hunger. We've talked about Jesus being the light of the world. He helps you to be able to see in a dark world. He is light. We also talked about that He is the door. The only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ. But this morning, the part that I like, that I think we're missing as the church, as believers, is that He's the good shepherd. As opposed to the bad shepherd. There are many religions out there trying to call your name. There are many different faiths out there that are trying to call you to be one of them. But I want you to see that this morning, Jesus Christ is calling you to be one of His. And the beautiful thing to me is He knows your name. Names are important to me. When we were naming our children, each one of our children's name was picked out, usually from a family member or a friend. Names are very, very, very important. And the beautiful thing is that Jesus Christ knows your name. And I believe He's calling you to want to be a part of His family. He knows who you are. He knows where you come from. And He wants you to follow Him. He wants a relationship with Him. Names are important. Last weekend we were in Dallas and we were eating at a restaurant called Gloria's. And it's just really good food. And we're sitting there. We're sitting in the patio area of this restaurant. And one of my fears when I go back to Dallas is that we're going to run into someone that I should know their name. I mean, it's just a fear I have. And so we go to eat. We're sitting out there on the patio. And it was Julie, me, and Margie, a friend of ours. And we're sitting there. And all of a sudden, this guy walks up to me. And he's got his grown son with him. And he says to me, "Do you know my name?" I hate that question. That is the most absolutely... Because as soon as he said, "Do you know my name?" Guess what? There is no way in the world. And I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, I know you. And if I say, "I don't know you, don't know your name," that implies several things. You've changed a lot. You know, you don't look like you did 20 years ago. It means you were never important enough that I knew your name to begin with. I mean, and so I hate that question. And I had to look at him and say, "I don't know your name." I just don't. And it was David Nelson. David married Hillary. She was a graduate of Baylor. I knew him, but I didn't know him at that moment. But again, I work very hard to try to remember people's names. Why? Because it makes you feel valuable, doesn't it? If someone never knew your name and they just constantly said, "Hey, you," how does that make you feel? Now, if your parents call you, "Hey, you," that might be a problem. But one of the things we need to understand is that Jesus Christ knows your name. And that, to me, is such a beautiful truth. And He calls you to be one of His followers. I believe He calls everyone to follow Him. And He knows you by name. The question is whether or not you hear your name called. Whether you choose to respond. So the good shepherd, he knows your name. The second thing that we find about the good shepherd is that he wants you to follow him. He wants to lead you. And look at verse 4 and 5. It says, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I love that. He leads them out. I found this out about shepherds. They don't drive sheep. They lead sheep. You drive cattle. But everything I read about sheep said that sheep follow the shepherd. That's the way it's supposed to be. It says, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. And then it says, they won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Now here's the thing. I I've really struggled with this message this week because I struggle with whether we get it. When you accept Jesus, when he calls your name and you become a Christian, if that's the word, or a disciple, that really means that you're saying you want to follow him. Right? Because the sheep follow the shepherd, right? The sheep were not allowed to roam free without the shepherd. The sheep always followed the shepherd. You didn't have sheep just being on their own in little flocks. They always had a shepherd. And the shepherd's responsibility was always to lead them, not drive them, to lead them. They followed behind the shepherd. Now here's what I'm struggling with. Many of us, maybe all of us this morning, call ourselves Christians. Right? I mean, we use that word like it's no big deal. But here's the question. Are you following him? You see, Jesus didn't save you for you to do your own thing. Jesus didn't save you so you could run off and just be free to live life to the fullest on your own. Right? Jesus saved you so you could follow him. Why? Because he's the good shepherd. And it was the shepherd's responsibility to lead the sheep where they needed to be. I was reading about sheep herding 201. It wasn't a Christian piece. It was just a piece that talked about sheep. And the thing about sheep is they move in flocks. They're also not very smart. But they gave this story that took place in, I believe it was 2006, in Turkey, Eastern Turkey, where the sheep followed this one other sheep. And they all, 400 of them, died as a result of that sheep going off a cliff. The sheep weren't supposed to be near the cliff, but they had gotten away from the who? The shepherd. And so they just follow the leader. You say, that's stupid. Yeah, it is stupid. But 400 sheep died in 2006 in eastern Turkey because they followed each other to their death. They're not very smart. That's why sheep need a shepherd. But here's the truth. Are you following Jesus? I mean, I'm talking about now. I'm not talking about when you accepted him as your Lord and Savior. I'm talking about right now. When you get up tomorrow, who are you following? Because the scripture, all of chapter 10, is about the importance of having a relationship with the shepherd. And that doesn't change for us Christians. Just because you get saved, we love to use that terminology, just because you get baptized, doesn't mean you're free to do whatever you want. As a believer, we are called to have a relationship with the shepherd, and the shepherd's name is Jesus. But the real question this morning is, who are you following? Who are you following? In Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, Jesus said this. He says, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me. You see, being a Christian is about following the shepherd. It's not about the American way, you're free to do what you want. That is American way. That is not biblical Christianity. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and my desire is to lead you. That means he leads you at your job, he leads you in your family, he leads you in your relationships. Jesus Christ never wants to follow you. He always wants to lead you. And so my question this morning is, who are you following? You're following someone. If nothing else, it may be yourself, your desires, your wants. Who are you following? Well, you might say, well, how do I follow Jesus on a daily basis? Well, here's several things. Number one, you have to surrender yourself daily to Him. What are you talking about? I'm talking about when you get up tomorrow, as soon as you get up, you're going to have a choice who you're going to live for. Every single day, rest of your life, you either live for yourself or for someone else or for Christ. So, if you're going to follow Him, if you're going to allow Him to lead you, you have to wake up and say, I surrender. Wherever you want me to go today, however you want me to go today, I surrender to you. The second thing is you surrender, but then you say, okay, Lord, what do you want to do with my life today? How do you want to use me at work? How do you want to use me at home? You have to ask for directions. You ask Him what He wants of you wherever you go tomorrow. And then the third thing, you just have to spend time in His Word. You have to read your Bible. How can you follow Him if you don't even know what He's talking about? See, the Bible is God's Word. It's His instruction book. It's how we know how to live. It's how we know what to do and not do. So you have to surrender. You have to ask for directions. Then you have to read the direction book. And then you either obey or disobey. But the point is, you're supposed to follow the shepherd, the good shepherd. And in every case, when I've screwed up my life, it has been when I was leading him, not him leading me. I think somehow we've got it messed up in the church. You get saved, you go to heaven, you do what you want. That is not biblical. You get saved to follow Him the rest of your life. He either is leading you or He's not. You see, Jesus is the good shepherd. He wants to lead us on a daily basis. Third thing, He's the good shepherd and He has a purpose for you. And I love this purpose, and I struggle with this purpose of how to explain it. In verse 10, it says the thief's purpose, talking about the other religious leaders, is talking about Satan. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the plan of Satan and his leaders. But what is the plan for Jesus in your life? He says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I'm going to go back to that word that I've talked about several times. The word Zoe. The word Zoe. Jesus wants to give you Zoe life. What in the world does that mean? Well, there's three words in the Greek for life. The first one is bios. It means biology. It means physical life. The second one is psyche. It's talking about your soul, your emotions, your will. But that's not the word He uses here. He uses the word Zoe because, see, when you get saved, He wants to give you Zoe life. So what does that mean? Well, Zoe life means this. It means that you have a life that is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have a relationship to the shepherd. You have Zoe life when you're connected, when you're living with Him and for Him. The good shepherd wants to lead you in a good life, a Zoe life that is the best life you can live. The best verse to describe Zoe life is Galatians 2:20. It gives you a picture of what that looks like. He says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. And then here's what I love. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. What is Zoe life? Zoe life is when you allow Jesus to live in you and through you. It's when you get up tomorrow and you get up to face the day and you go, okay, what are we doing today, Lord? It's Zoe life. It's God-infused life. It's not just physical. It's just non-emotional. It's spiritual life. And over again in the book of John, he says, I have a purpose for you. It's Zoe life. It's God-filled life. It's Jesus-driven life. And when you have that kind of life, you really live. And yet, I see it all the time. It's my life. I do what I want to do with my life. No, it's not your life if you're a believer. It's His life. It's His life through your personality. It's Him living through you. And when you start living for Him, your life is satisfying. It's better. Doesn't mean it's perfect. Doesn't mean it doesn't have problems. It means when you have Zoe life, you have full life. You have life the way that Jesus Christ meant it to be. I find many people who have church, but they don't have life. They have baptism, but they don't have life. You see, Jesus came to give you a satisfying life, a purposeful life. Not just to put you on a roll, it's to give you meaning. So Jesus gives us Zoe life, that's His purpose. And then the fourth thing, and I love this. This shepherd is not a... He is a good shepherd because He's willing to die for you. Look what He says. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices His life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him. And he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hands run away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. Here's the beautiful thing. This good shepherd died for you. It's called the gospel. Jesus laid down His life for you. See, when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't plan B. It wasn't plan B. It wasn't like, oops, the Jews won. No, it was never plan B. Jesus died on the cross. It was plan A. Why? He knew that on your own, you could not be good enough to be saved. He says, I died for you. I died and I took my life back up. I was resurrected. And the beautiful picture of this shepherd is the shepherd put his life on the line. He died for your sins. He died so you could have a relationship with God. Now, he says in that story, the hired hand, he ain't dying for you. You see, there are a lot of people that are in religion and spiritual things. They're not in it for you. They're in it for the money. And that's what he says in the story. He said, the hired hand, he's out of here. When he sees a wolf, he's gone. But the good shepherd, the one that owns the sheep, the one that has a relationship with the sheep, he dies for them. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin. Christ never sinned. He was the offering for our sin. And then look what it says. So that we could be made right with God through Christ. How do you get right with God? Living a good life? No. You can't live a good enough life. Getting baptized. Baptism gets you wet and tells you about who saved you. How do you get right with God? It is only when you trust in what Jesus did for you on the cross. It's the only way. There's no other way. There's not a mountain with everybody trying to get up to God doing their own individual. The only way is through trusting what Jesus did for you on the cross. His life, death, and resurrection. Look what it says in 1 Peter 3:18. It says, Christ suffered for our sins. That's the kind of shepherd you have. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He died one time for the sins of the world. And then it says this, He never sinned, but He died for sinners. Why did He die for sinners? Look what it says. To bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but was raised to life in the Spirit. It's the gospel. The only way you get saved is when you trust in what Jesus did for you. You can never be good enough. Your baptism ain't going to get you there. You can't be a holier than thou kind of person. Why? Because you have a problem called sin. The only way anybody in this room is going to get into heaven is by trusting what Jesus did on the cross for him. He died for our sins. That's the kind of shepherd we have. And you've either trusted that or you have trusted in something else to save you. What have you trusted in to change you? Religion? Baptism? You see, the shepherd died for his sheep. And he didn't just die for the Jewish sheep. It tells us in that passage that he died for that other group, the Gentiles. That's you and me. And he says that there is going to be one flock with one shepherd. Jesus Christ is head of the church. That means Baptist, Methodist, anybody who's a believer in Jesus Christ has one shepherd. It's Jesus. We get all tied up in our differences instead of what saves us. And what saves us is a relationship with Jesus Christ. I love what he says in verse 27. He says, My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. He is talking about a relationship that he has with his sheep. Which is the next thing. After he dies for you, he wants a relationship with you. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep. That word know literally means in the Hebrew, it's referring to a relationship between a husband and wife. It's not talking about friendship. It's talking about a deep, intimate relationship. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice and they will be one flock with one shepherd. Now here's the other thing. He wants a relationship with you. This is what makes me so incredibly sad. That shepherd wants a relationship with his sheep. The word that is used there, I know my sheep, is a word of intimacy. Deep knowledge, experiential knowledge. And here's the question. What kind of intimacy do you have with Christ this morning? Do you have a relationship? Now, I'm not talking about being just saved. I'm talking about when you get up, do you realize you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? The good shepherd never saved you to never talk to you and never have anything to do with you. It's just like getting married. I got married to Julie to spend my life with Julie. I didn't get married to her so I can do all this other stuff without her. It's about a relationship. I'll be honest, as a pastor, the thing that I struggle with the most is how many of the sheep don't have a relationship on a daily basis with the shepherd. Do you talk to him? Do you read his word? Do you have a relationship? You see, the good shepherd wants a relationship with you. You either have one or you don't. I hope you have one. And then the final thing, and I love this, the good shepherd will keep you safe. One of the things that this passage, verses 28 through 30, show more than anything else is that once you have been saved, you're safe. Now the question is, are you saved or not? I can't tell you that. But if you've trusted in what Jesus Christ did on the gospel for you, here's the one thing I can promise you. You're safe. You don't have to worry about losing. Listen, here's the thing I know. I can't earn my salvation, so I can't lose it. Look what it says in verse 28. What does it say? Jesus says, I give them what? Do you earn eternal life? He says, I what? Give. You see, eternal life is a gift. It's not something you deserve. It's not something you earn. He says, I give them eternal life. And then what does he say? And they will never perish. Never perish. In the Greek, it's the double emphatic no. Never, ever, ever perish. And then he says this, no one can snatch them away from me. No one. And then he gives you a beautiful picture of the Heavenly Father. He says, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hands. And then he says this, which makes them want to kill him. The Father and I are one. Here's what I know. If you meant business when you accepted the gospel, no one can snatch that from your hands. Now, you can fail him, let him down, but it's just like I have four kids. Nothing can change the fact that my four kids are my four kids. They can say, I'm not your kid, and I'll say, no, you're my kid. If you become part of God's family by faith in Jesus Christ, guess what? You're part of the family. And I get so sad when I see Christians trying to earn their salvation, because here's what I know. You can't be good enough. Why did he die if you could be good enough on your own to earn it and keep it? The reason he died is because of your sin. And that's called good news. That's called the gospel. And the picture here, Jesus says, listen, I've got you in my hand. And not only that, the Father and I are one, so God, who's stronger than anybody, has got you in His hand. So guess what? You won't perish. But it doesn't come down to baptism, and it doesn't come down to Baptist theology. It comes down to a relationship with the shepherd. And if you have a relationship with the shepherd, guess what? He gives you life. He gives you security. The tragedy to me, and I went through it for many years, I used to struggle with whether I was good enough to be saved. Because I would do things that I knew were not right, and I would struggle and think, well, I hope I didn't do too much wrong. I might tilt the scales, you know, where I get out. The greatest understanding to me is when I realized I couldn't screw it up. I need a Savior who won't let me screw it up. Why? Because I'm human, and you're human. And He died so we could have life. He has you in His hand. You don't lose it. But because He said that Jesus, because He said that, they wanted to kill Him. Did you notice what it said at the end? He said they started to pick up the stones. You know what? People love Jesus and people hate Jesus. It says once again the people picked up the stones to kill Him. Why? Because He claimed to be God. Because He claimed to forgive people their sins. That ticked them off. But the whole story, the heart I have is, what kind of relationship do you have with the shepherd? Do you follow Him? I mean, I had to ask myself all these questions. Do you follow Him? Do you trust Him? Do you realize that He died for you? I mean, what is your relationship with the shepherd like? That is what is so important. Not being a Baptist or a Methodist or whatever life. It's, do you know the shepherd? Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd.
Let's pray.
Father, I pray this morning that we would understand the importance of having you as the shepherd. It's not just to get saved and go to heaven. It's to get saved to have a relationship with you. It's to get saved to follow you. It's to get saved to have a Zoe life, a better life. It's just the only way. You saved us to be in a relationship with us. And Lord, forgive us when we don't have that relationship. Father, this week, help us to remember that you're the good shepherd and help us to follow you every single day. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.